When you're raising children, and it's one of the trickier jobs that life throws at you, a lot of seemingly simple decisions, they appear complex. You're afraid of getting it wrong, stuffing it up. Here's a dilemma for you, long-suffering parent. When it comes to the books your children read, what topics would you say are off-limits? Terrorism, cancer, mental illness, are they no-nos? And who decides? Let's chew this over. Author, Australian Children's Laureate Maurice Gleisman joins us, and Professor Joe Lampert from La Trobe University School of Education. Welcome both.
Good evening.
Thank you.
I love that title, Maurice, Children's Laureate. That is superb.
My great relief when I was awarded the, or invited to take up the role, was that no poetry is involved.
That is a blessing in any life. And you, as an author, are no stranger to taboos. You've authored a series of books set during World War II in and around the Holocaust. Was there a resistance from your publisher when you pitched that thought?
There was the briefest of dilations of a pupil or two around the meeting table, less than a second, and never an attempt to dissuade me because they know my approach is to tell stories that find a way through the best and the worst of our inclinations and our behaviours. And I think young people deserve to have that territory mapped, but always, unlike the poor old news media, tasked with bringing us daily dollops of the worst that our species is capable of, stories have this capacity and therefore I think a responsibility to show both sides. And I think all the while young people have optimism kept alive in stories and the potential for things improving. And stories open things up at their best, not close them down.
It is, Joe, as Maurice points out, it's a strange question to ask when we all live in this world of the constant bombardment of hideousness.
Well, that's right. And in fact, the shootings that took place this week in the US and take place often enough, I think often current events and what's happening in the world provoke children's writers to feel a kind of a sense of responsibility to helping children understand this complex world we live in.
Well, in an example of that, you did an analysis for young readers after the September 11 attacks. What did that reveal?
Well, the first of the books to appear were really what we might say fall under the category of bibliotherapy. They were really books intended to help children understand good versus evil and that the world is a hopeful place. And then as time went on, I think they got more and more complex and they were able to be treated in a more literary way.
I mean, that Maurice, that notion of evil and going back to the Holocaust here, of which it is the embodiment, to introduce that concept to a young mind. How does the young mind, it can embrace nastiness, it can embrace ugliness, but evil as a thought?
I set out to write a story about friendship, about love and friendship, but I wanted to not be namby-pamby about the capacity of friendship. I thought, I'll put it to the test. I'll see how it fares in the context of the most extremely unfriendly behaviour that we humans are capable of. And that, having those two together, I've spoken to thousands of young people from age 8 and up who've read these books, and not one of them has missed the fact that this is these are stories in which our capacity for our very best is displayed all the way through, right next to our species' capacity for what that is justly called evil behaviour sometimes.
I guess that's the point, isn't it, Joe, that goodness can shine through, goodness even through, you know, comparison, goodness as distinct from the actions being described.
I think maybe this is one of the areas where this is an interesting topic, because I think I think any topic is possible in books for young people, but I think the treatment is different than it might be in books for adults. So in a book for adults, you could write a Dexter or you could write Silence of the Lambs, but really you'd be hard-pressed to find a book for young people that allowed the protagonist to be purely, to be likable and purely evil.
So we have to, Maurice, avoid unrelenting evil. We need a point of contact with the better world.
I think young people are much more forward-looking in what they take from stories. We adults who've lived a lot, we tend to like stories that are about regret and about missed opportunity and about a slow acceptance that perhaps the worst is more likely than the best. But young people are deeply invested
in the decay of our unfolding lives.
Well, I was carefully avoiding that D word, but so if a story has in it reasons for optimism, a sense that we can't always guarantee that the worst won't overwhelm us, that is apparent to young people as they look around the world through their many communication devices these days. So it's no use pretending that there's not seriously bad stuff out there. But stories have this capacity to at least put it in a context of hope, of the fact that creative thinking and loving impulses can, at least some of the time, and there's always the possibility that they can prevail.
And if you're a young person in a world in which you are aware of mental illness, of relationship breakdown, of the various horrors that can befall people, why would you read things that didn't embrace that world?
I think if you sense as a young person that there are things that disturb adults, and there's plenty in the world that causes adult faces in homes to sort of fall and wince as the news comes through and as the day is being discussed. And if as a young person you have a sense that there are things that adults don't even want to talk about, those things must be so appallingly awful. And our imaginations, of course, have the capacity to inflate every awful possibility, just as every good one. So it is absolutely important that we do young people the service of letting them understand the landscape without letting the dark side of the landscape, you know, sweep over everything and leave them despairing.
Well, in that dark part of it, Joe, I mean, should anything be off limits? I mean, are there things that we really don't need to deal with, perhaps?
Well, you know, I tried to think of whether there were, in fact, any topics that were off limits.
I think this thoughtlessly watching the news every day. I don't need to know that. Why are you telling me? So
I couldn't really think of any. I did wonder, you know, what you would do with bestiality. I'm not sure. But really, actually, I think most topics are worth exploring. And again, it's the treatment of them.
That treatment, Morris, is so dependent on the age of the reader, or not necessarily the age of the reader, but the maturity of the emotional and intellectual response of the reader.
It's partly dependent on the experience, the understanding of the world. Young kids have types of emotional maturity that we often don't give them credit for. And I've got a personal rule writing for young people, which has allowed me to take my stories into some pretty confronting areas. And my rule is that I will never write a story in which a young reader feels worse about themselves and their place in the world at the end. Neither a young character feel worse about themselves and their place in the world at the end of a story compared to how they felt at the beginning. And this necessarily means that I'm not going to dwell on just the dark side. Yeah. I'm not going to only model that sometimes the dark side wins. I'm going to show that it's a continual struggle in all of us as individuals as well as our societies, but that the possibility for our better sides prevailing and our fondest held hopes and dreams being realised is always there.
Is this an experience for young people, Joe, that should be, you know, parentally curated?
Well, you know, it is true. Well, first of all, I want to say that Morris, as your listeners probably know, is quite unique in that you write for both very quite young children and also young adults. And I would want to say that, you know, in a way, it's difficult to talk about children's literature as though it's one umbrella field. What we might say about children's picture books might be different than what we might say about young adult fiction. But also, I think children's books are in fact mediated in a way that adult literature is not. So you might write a book, a picture book, but that picture book is then illustrated, it's then read by teachers and possibly parents and put on library shelves as, you know, in a certain category of the library. So there are lots of hands in the pot in terms of how that book will be understood by the reader in the end.
Have you ever got this wrong, Morris?
I don't think seriously wrong, and I get very unabashed consumer feedback thousands of times a year through the young people that I talk with and listen to. I'd just like to quickly jump back, because I'd like to add a request to parents. As one myself, I know how natural it is to sometimes want to withhold and censor and be a loving but blocking gatekeeper. And I would urge parents to temper that inclination with the availability of themselves for the conversations that young people will always want to have when they have read something that has stretched their sense of the world, sometimes stretched their sense of how bad the world can be, as well as how good. Those conversations are absolutely the way to help young people find their untraumatized path through a very sometimes scary and confronting world via their stories. These conversations, I think, are as important as the books themselves. And when it happens between a young person and an adult that they trust and love, then wonderful things happen in the life of that young person and in their sense of being equipped to face up to what are going to be some huge challenges the next generation.
That is a beautiful thought, and I think a lovely place on which to end. Morris and Joe are speaking at the Victoria State Library on August 15, and that's part of La Trobe Uni's Bold Thinking series. I am afraid that is sold out, but there is a glorious but. You can catch up afterwards on YouTube. So you'll search for that, Morris Gleisman, Joe Lampert, Victorian State Library, Bold Thinking. Your Google will do the work for you. Morris and Joe, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Children's Laureate, Morris Gleisman, Joe Lampert, Professor of Education, La Trobe University. And this is Drive on RN.